Now let's go to the Lord. Father, thank you for each one here. I ask, Father, please, that you will just bless them. May we know that we are in your house by your Spirit, by your presence, by the ministering of your word touching our hearts. And Father, may we, at the end of this service, Father, be allowed to say that we've witnessed you doing your work in our midst. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You know, in your driver's licenses where you have the donor on designation on the back of your card, whether you want to be a donor or you don't want to be a donor. I don't know, are these still the little stickers you put on around the hole? I don't know. You know, the little dot, you put the dot on it, right? And, you know, I put that on my driver's license a long time ago that I want to be a donor if anything was to happen to me. And, you know, think about Steve. You know, he got his kidney from his son, and you see the change in him. His life is completely changed because you could really see the health decline before that. When I was in the hospital with my heart a few years back, and when it was at its worst point, I remember the nurse coming in and saying, well, you know, if the percentage of your heart performance drops 2 or 3 more percentages, then you will be most qualified. You'll be put on the list qualified for heart transplant. Well, you know, when you think about transplants, I've always thought, you know what, that's something that is good, it's vital, it gives hope, it gives life to people that are in need of a transplant. But when it was presented to me personally saying you could be a candidate, they made it even that much more important because I thought to myself, wow. I said, you're telling me that things could be that way? That I would have to, and that's what keeps me alive. And so, you know, it impacted me more is the point, that we need to understand that being a donor is important because it affects the whole body. It affects the whole body and it affects the whole family. The National Organ Donor Registry states that 12,000 people right now are on the list waiting for their transplant to come. And it's an emotional thing because you don't want someone to die just to give you life. But you know that if they do, at least they're being used to give life, right? There's a little boy on TV the last 6 months that he was up for a heart transplant. And he was carrying his backpack, and the backpack has a machine and the tubes that go into his side and all that stuff to keep his heart working. And he had the heart transplant, and that made a big difference. Obviously, he's able to live his life as a little boy now, with the exception of all the meds and all that stuff that goes with it. But you could see the anxiety on the mother's face when the subject was being talked about, and to know that her child was going to get that recipient of that heart, you could see her break down inside. And the point is that. It is disruptive not just to the individual that's waiting for the transplant that has the need, but it's disruptive to the whole family because it puts a burden on everybody. It puts a, you know, like if it's a mom that's waiting for a transplant, she can't take care of her children if she's a stay-at-home mom, right? She can't do what she normally does. If it's a husband, he can't be out working to provide for his family, which is the basic element of being a man is to be able to provide, and he feels emasculated. If the mothers can't help, and they might have kids that are older to take care of the younger kids, it puts an added strain. All these types of things are factors that affect the family. And so the function of that home is interrupted. And others have to come and take up the slack, whether it be their spouse, whether it be children, whether it be extended family or friends or neighbors, what have you. Well, I have to tell you that the same thing is true for the church, because the church is a body. And even though we've heard the text before about the church and the representation of a body, everyone that God puts here in this church, God has done it because it pleases him. And I'm going to talk about that just a little bit more, because a couple weeks ago we had the message that we have a responsibility to keep our covenant agreement with God, that when we received him as our Savior, that we are giving ourselves to him, and we're going to live for him, we're going to follow him, we're going to serve him, and we're going to discover the path that God has for us to to engage in that he created us to live. Does that make sense? God has a plan for your life and my life. It's up to us to keep our heart right with him and follow him to discover that path. But along with that, we have to understand that the next week was that we have a covenant relationship with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are called to love each other, care for each other, support each other, be there to lift each other up, whatever the need is, because that's what we're called to do. And so we need to function as that body. Now, how many living animals or living people or living bodies, if you will, can live without the head? Can't do it, can they? It just doesn't work. You wring a chicken's neck, it's not going to be walking around for long, right? If someone loses their head, their body's not going to be doing so well, right? The point is that you could have everything you need from here down to make a human body, but without this, it doesn't do a lot of good, right? And so as God places people in the church, we're placed as individual members of this church body as it pleases God, but each one of us is uniquely placed, not just as it pleases God, but with a unique purpose, with a unique place of service, with a unique function for this church body. I want to look at, instead of place of service, because sometimes we think, oh, I've heard that before, I want us to think about function. Because in order for a church to function, it has to be a healthy body, and a healthy body has to have the head. And the head of the church is who? Jesus. Right? And so the title of the message is Don't Lose Your Head. You know? Because without the head, we don't function. We might have all the people. We may have the pretty building. We may have different ministries. But without the head, we're not following him and his will for us. What we're doing is we're looking at us, and we're determining what we want to do, and we're stepping out doing what we think we ought to do as that we think that God wants us to do without really listening to him or following him. And there's a passage in Scripture that says, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." There are some that thought that they had served the Lord, knew the Lord, served the Lord, and did a lot of great works. We've done this, this, and this. And Jesus will say to them, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Why? Because they weren't following the head. So you can think you're a Christian going to church your whole life, and if you don't have a relationship with Christ, you never listen to the head, the Holy Spirit that knocks on your heart and wants to come in your life. You can be a church that has so many things in place, but if you don't have the head, you may do things, but they're not the things that God intended for you to do as a church. Think about that personally. God created you and has something specific that he wants you to do in and through him for his glory. God created us for him. God made us unique for him. God has a plan specified for your life and my life. And God has placed us as believers where he wants us to be as we follow him. And as that, we have that part. What part of the body is not important? I mean, the appendix, they say, isn't important, but I beg to differ. God put it there. You know? What part of the body do we start to examine? Say, well, I'm not a hand, I'm not an arm, I'm not a foot, I'm not a leg, I'm not an eye, I'm not a nose, I'm not an ear, I'm not a face, I'm not a stomach, whatever. Those external things. But what about the internal parts of the body you don't see? Oh, you might see a broken bone. You might see a nerve. I knocked my teeth out and the nerves were hanging. You know, you might see blood, but you don't see all the inner things of your body and its functions from the tiniest of cells and all that's incorporated. Now, if we transfer that to the church body, we have to understand that the church body is not just the collective membership from that point of view, but that each one of us is a part that is called of God to be used in order for the body to operate the way he intends. So if any part of our body is not working right, our body knows it. If any part of the church body as a member of the body is not working right, the body knows it. And so we need to understand that it is important that we follow Christ as the head, and that we depend upon him, and that we become the functioning body that God intends for us to be, because nothing could be far less than that in all the blessings that God has. When we're what God wants us to be, that God blesses that. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence." Now that word preeminence means to be first in rank or influence. That means God comes first. First in rank, highest authority, highest influence should be Jesus. My highest authority in my life, who am I accountable to, is Jesus. The greatest or highest influence on my life should be Jesus. And that's what he's saying here. It says that he may have the preeminence of our lives. Also, this verse makes it clear that Christ is the head of his church. Christ is the head of his church. You don't know how many times that I have said in business meetings, let's go to God in prayer. Remember, God's the head of the church. Don't operate in our own thinking. Operate in the thinking of God. Not in presumptuousness, but in seeking God as the head of the church. Because then if we operate in business outside of the head of the church, we're going to make mistakes and not go the direction that God wants us to go. Every believer in Christ is an important part of his body, from the obvious to the obscure. You get that? How many people do you know that come to church that possibly think of themselves as not important, not essential to this church membership, family, body? We can't think that way. It doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter what your social status is. It doesn't matter what color skin you are. It doesn't matter. God puts you here. You're a believer in Christ. You're part of the body. And God is uniquely forming us to be that individual church that God wants us to be. Again, I go back to the human body. My body looks different than yours. And you say, amen. And, and hallelujah. And vice versa. Amen. And hallelujah. But we're uniquely our own body. God wants to uniquely make us that body of believers in this church to look like he wants us to look. And so every believer in Christ is an important part of his body, from the obvious to the obscure. You see the external, you don't see all the internal, but all of it's important in order to be healthy, in order to work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 17, it says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not of the eye, am I not of the body? I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling?" You can't look and say, "You know what, I'm not the preacher, so it doesn't matter. I'm not a preacher, so I can't be used in God's work." Wrong. You can't say that I'm not a Sunday school teacher or deacon or trustee or treasurer or maintenance worker. And down the list you go in all the different functions of the church ministries, or social worker. Social activities. Okay? You can't say that because we're not those things that we're not important. If there are some people that can see a direction that God is leading us into, that's like the spiritual eye. There's some people that can hear and perceive with that discernment what God wants us to hear. There are some people that can, as weird as it sounds, spiritually can smell. That smells a little fishy. That smells great, as in that's the right way to go. And there's all types of sensitivities and parts of the body that work in conjunction together to make us a healthy body, so that we can be used of God effectively according to His assignments, not the assignments that we deem are most important. Each member of the body of Christ is vital to a healthy and productive body. Now, we all need to hear that. We all need to hear that we're all vital. You, put your name there. You are vital to this church. Why? Because God put you here. That simple. And you're one of His. And that means He's placed you in the body to be part of that functioning body. And we're all called to function together for His kingdom. So, every believer in Christ is an important part of His body, from the obvious to the obscure. Each member of the body of Christ is vital to a healthy and productive body. The church can only function properly as each of its members gives themselves in the capacity that God intends for them to. You hear that? The church can only function properly as each of its members gives themselves in the capacity that God intends for them to. Look, sometimes it sounds like a broken record in the church when I say God's called you to serve. It sounds like propaganda from the preacher. We got to look at it much more seriously than that. As a member of the body, just as a member of a part of your human body, there's a function that God has set in place that's important for the body to be healthy. If you and I are not doing what God has called us to, if you and I are not aware of how we can be used of God, and we're not seeking Him, we're not seeking the head, and we're not placed in a position that we can be of some service using what we are that God made us to be, then we're affecting the functionality of this church body. Half a heart. Machine runs the heart. You might say, I'm half the man I used to be. But what I'm trying to say is that when it's not all functioning, it's not all... You can laugh. It's okay. When it's not all functioning, we're not functioning to full speed. We're not available, are we, to be what God wants us to be? God gives assignments to the church as they are able to receive them, and this depends on the health condition of the church. Do we want God's assignments? Then each one of us has to do our part of what God wants us to do. I don't know about you. That shouldn't be a sense of conviction, you know, unless you don't want that and God's talking to you. But it should be a joy, the anticipation of, man, God has something for me to do here. God has given me a gift or more gifts. God has given me an aptitude that others don't have. God has made me a unique part of this congregation to fit in with all the other family members, to be that unit of believers that's to be used of God for God's assignment. I mean, that's totally cool, said the Californian preacher, right? Totally. But we won't get the assignments that God intends for us to have if we're not healthy. God gives assignments to the church as they are able to receive them. And this depends on the health condition of the church. Remember, Paul said, I want to teach you more, but you just only take in milk. That's just an example. That's not necessarily here. But the example is that God only gives what we're able to receive. When the church is spiritually healthy because each member is functioning together as they should, then God can direct them in ways they never thought possible. Never thought possible. Because the body's working together as a unit. And together in Christ, nothing's impossible. All things are possible with God. And I want to see the possibilities of God's power in our church and in our individual lives. Yeah. Because that's exciting. That's adventurous. That's awesome. That's just beyond, you know, hey, look what God is doing type stuff. And I love that. 1 Corinthians 12, 18 through 19 says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. You're here because God put you here and it pleases him that you're here. Okay? And if they were all one member, where would the body be? And if they were all one member, where would the body be? If we were all an eye, where would the body be? If we were all a tooth, where would the whole body be? You get the point. We can't all be the same, but we are all different in Christ. And that's what's exciting about it. And God makes us and uses us and wants us to be that vessel that can glorify him. And so to function within the body as Christ has placed us, we must follow him and not our own selves. First key is that we've got to follow him if we're going to function. Why? Well, one, I know God, I'm saved. Two, I know God's led me and placed me in this church body. Three, I know that God has revealed to me that I have some abilities that I can use for his kingdom work. Four, I know that I should apply that and use that for God's kingdom work. No matter how old we are, no matter what we condition that we're in, God can use us. And so Matthew 16:24-25 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's one of my favorite verses. If you or I will lose our life, that means I'm no longer going to take control of my life. And I'm going to hand that control over to Jesus. Jesus says in his word, if you hold on to your life and your authority on your life, you're going to lose the life, the intent that God wanted to use you for his glory. If you let go of your life and relinquish that authority over to Jesus, you are going to find, I'm going to find the incredible things that God wants to do with our lives, your life, my life, that are beyond our comprehension. Here show us great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call upon the Lord. I love that. The challenge is to let go and let God have the authority. So what should we do? If you don't know what part of the body Christ has chosen you to be, now maybe there are those of you, because I was there too. I said, you know, God, I don't know, but I sure love to know what gift you've given me or what ability you've given me or what part of the body that I am. And so if you don't know what part of the body Christ has chosen you to be or how God wants to use you, do these things. If you really want to know, ask God earnestly. You have not because you ask not. Simply go to God and say, God, I want to know what part of the body I am. I want to know how you want to use me. I want to know what you have customized me to be in the church as part of the body of Christ. We can pray for others in this body to know their part God has for them. Have you ever looked around in your church family and go, I can sense God's hand on somebody. I can see it. I can see the abilities that that person has, and they don't see it yet. Have we ever seen that in our own children? I can see the possibilities. I can see the gifts you have. I can see you, and they don't know it yet. And so when we see that in each other, we should pray for each other, right? And that they should also know the part that God has for them. Seek to maintain a heart of purity in Christ. Look, if we live in sin, we will not be recipients of God's plan. We just won't. Seek to maintain a heart of purity in Christ. The less active we are in sin, the more active the Holy Spirit is in revealing himself and his will to us. We cannot play the religious game. None of us can. We have to walk with Jesus every day. And we need to know that when we sin, we're hampering what God wants to do in our life, but not just our life, our church family. When we're embracing and sin and holding on to sin, we're hurting the people that we love that are around us, our church family, as well as our own families. Take seriously how important you are as a unique part in this body of Christ. You may have heard me say you're important, that you're significant, but you have to come to the realization that you are indeed seriously an important part of this church body. Something you have to do. Take seriously how important you are as a unique part of this body of Christ. Consider, as our human body, that any part not functioning properly affects the whole body. Somebody was telling us, the ladies, I go for lunch with the ladies on craft day. And one of the ladies there was saying that her grandson, when he was just 18 months old, was down in the basement with her, with a brother, and they had an old-fashioned exercise bike that had no guard on the wheel. So you had the spokes in the wheel. And the little kid got on there and cut his big toe off, 18 months old. Fortunately, they were able to put the toe back on. But if he didn't, what would that do to the body? Out of balance. Trouble walking, running, sports, what have you. They put it back on. We have to be careful and understand that you, as a part of this body that God has designed you to be right here in this family, is crucial to the effectiveness in which God wants to use us. If we say, oh, I know what my part is and I know where I'm going, hey, let's go ahead and dissect the chicken. And let's lay out all the inside parts of the chicken. Well, we can cut a chicken and get the breast and the legs and the wings. But let's go ahead and just sever every part of a whole bird. We got all the parts. Why isn't it working? Because it's not together. And we have to be together in order to be a functioning body. Complete the spiritual gifts tests. If you have troubles figuring, it's self-explanatory, but if you're like me, sometimes self-explanatory is confusing. You know, doesn't register sometimes. Just come talk to me. Compare spiritual gifts tests with results, test results with ministry areas you could serve in. You say, well, gee, my test results say that I could be a teacher. My test results say whatever. Well, if this say you're a teacher, go to Beth as a Sunday school director and say, hey, I'm interested in teaching. Can you help me get started? Come to me. Whatever area that you see a gift that God has revealed to you through that test, put it to action. Say, okay, now where are they doing that ministry? And guess what? If they're not, come talk to me about that as well. So compare spiritual gift test results with ministry areas you could serve in. Start using your spiritual gifts and minister or reach out. And finally, rejoice that God has placed each one of us as unique members of His body for His glory and His purpose. It's not about coming to church. It's about being the church. And I don't mean that derogatorily. I mean that to say, we are His church. And He has great plans to work through all of us together for His kingdom. We just have to come together. That much more. So if you're not serving, if you don't know what your gift is and you're not serving, you're missing out on what God wants you to do. If you're serving, praise God. You know how God wants to use you and what gifts and abilities God has given you. But every once in a while, I'll take that spiritual gift test over. Because Scripture says, if you're faithful with a little, I'll give you more. You might take the test over and you might go, I've grown in the Lord and I realize that God's given me this area too. And so don't cut yourself short. And it's such a rich blessing to use what God has given us for His kingdom. So let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank You for each one here. I praise You, Father, for the truth of Your word. I praise You, Father, that Your desire is that we are a healthy body of believers, each a unique part, fit specifically together as You want us to be fit together, to be used exactly as You want to use us as a unique individual church in this community, part of the body of Christ overall, but a unique vessel here through this church. And so, Father, help us to be willing to consider these things, that no matter how young or how old we are, we have an opportunity. So long as we can comprehend, you know, little infants can't. But as they get more intelligent and more understanding, we can guide them in ways that they can serve. They don't have to wait to be an adult to do so. So, Father, I pray that you honor that. Encourage us and help us to be all that you'd have us to be, personally, individually, and collectively as your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.